Kerabotai, welcome. We reached Parashat Pekudeh. That's the final parasha in Shemot. And we got lucky this year that they're separate. So we're able to say a Hiddush from the Or HaChaim HaKadosh on Vayakhel. And we're going to actually quote the Or HaChaim HaKadosh's comments on the first pasuk. Let's just read it. Ele Pekudeh HaMishkan. We're learning Pekudeh HaMishkan. This is the accounting. Moshe Rabbeinu collected all the money, and now he's going to give a reckoning of whatever he collected. Mishkan Ha'edut, this is also called the Mishkan of Testimony. Rashi will tell us that this is a testimony that God has forgiven us for Chet Ha'egel, for the sin of the golden calf. Asher Pukad Al-Pi Moshe. Again, this was an accounting that was given by Moshe. Avodat Talviyim. Now, the Torah mentions here about the service of the Leviim, Biyad Itamar, and the manager of the Leviim was Itamar, Ben Aaron HaKohen. And the Or HaChaim HaKadosh will tell us what's the purpose to mention the Leviim in this passage. We're giving an accounting to the Mishkan, so we know the Leviim work in the Mishkan. Why all of a sudden now do we need the Torah to tell us about the Leviim's involvement? Furthermore, the next pasuk says, "Ubtzalel ben Uri ben Hud Matei Yehuda." There was a tzaddik called Betzalel. We know him. Asa et kol hashiv siva hashim et Moshe, and he also executed properly. Now we know that already. Betzalel was mentioned a few times before, so he's going to have to tell us why Betzalel is specifically mentioned now again. Okay, now let's take it from the beginning. We can't move until we understand the word elle. Elle pekudeh hamishkan. Now, we learned a rule that when the pasuk will use the word elle, elle is coming to say this as opposed to something else. It's a restrictive word. If the pasuk would have said ve'elle, it comes along and includes not only what we said, but ve'elle this also. So right away, Or HaChaim HaKadosh is going to tell us from the fact that Pekudeh begins with an ele, we're coming to restrict something. We're coming to limit a certain item. And what is that? Ele Pekudeh, when it comes to accounting, when it comes to counting money, when it comes to Heshbon, when it comes to monetary calculations, the Rav will say, really, one shouldn't spend too much time counting his money. More importantly, that he spends his time counting things of real value, things that will be permanent and things that will last forever, not things like money that is fleeting. And therefore, ele pekudeh, when it comes to making a pekudeh, when it comes to counting and giving value to monetary items, mishkan, you do yourself a favor if you count and make hashbon on real things, on real assets, like the Mishkan, like your mitzvot, but don't spend your time counting money. That's what he says here. Ele pekudeh, omro ele. The reason why he says ele and not ve'ele, lipsol kol minuyim. It's coming to exclude and to negate all other counting shebaolam. Ki chol ma sheyimne adam mekinyanim hamedumim, when a person spends his time, you know, reviewing his bank account, counting all his assets, and reviewing how much his portfolio was worth, he calls that assets that are medumim. They're fake. It's an illusion. En minyano minyan. That's not a real counting, for the simple reason, because we're not sure that that money will even remain by the person who's counting it. As he says, the reason why money is called mamon, ushmo more alav, the name of money is mamon. What does it stand for? Ma ata moneh, mamon, ma ata moneh. What are you counting? It might not even remain by you. So why are you spending so much time overanalyzing and overcalculating something that might even leave you and go to someone else? And the Midrash comes along and says, not only is it called mamon, but it's called nechasim. Nekasim means it's covered. Lechasot. Sometimes the money that a person has becomes concealed to him and becomes revealed to somebody else. That's the nature of money. He loses it and it goes somewhere else. It's not a permanent, absolute asset. Money is also called, the Midrash says, zuzim. Why? Zuzim, because they're always in motion. Money is always moving, the velocity of money. Money is always moving from one hand to the other. And therefore, again, it's not a real gain. It's not a real asset. So all these words that the Torah uses to refer to money is coming to tell you the nature of it. Ma'atamoneh. Why are you counting it? What is its value? And therefore, says Dorai Mekadosh, Aval Minyan Zeh, when it comes to the accounting of the Mishkan, how much gold, how much silver, how much copper, that's a worthy investment in time to count. You know why? She omedet le'olam. Because the Mishkan is forever, especially the Mishkan of Moshe. It did not get destroyed. V'ata'am liyot binyan ha-mishkan ha-mufla is on a high level, asher shachan sham elohe olam ha-shem. Which the lesson over here is basically, don't spend your time too much in making an accounting on something that you're not going to be able to take with you. Ultimately, you can leave it behind. So why are you making such an effort to make a hezbon on the temporary and the ephemeral item? So therefore, when it comes to pikudeh, accounting and calculations and hezbon is good in this place to the exclusion of other places. When it comes to the Mishkan, by all means, every detail of the Mishkan is a vehicle to bring the Shekhinah down, and therefore well worth to count it. But to count money, you're counting something that might not be in your pocket tomorrow morning, and therefore it's a temporary item, and therefore one should not put an overemphasis of that calculation. So basically what he's saying is, count real assets. Count your mitzvot. You know, why don't you go to sleep at night and count how many mitzvot you banked that day? How many good deeds did you bank that day? How much tzedakah did you give that day? That's worthy to keep a good accounting, because that's going to be with you forever. Like it says, b'sidkato omedet la'ad. But money, nobody's taking it with you. So therefore, ele pikudeh. This is something worth counting. Then he goes on to say that the word ele is coming for something else. As we know, the Mishkan was an atonement for the Chet HaEgel. And the Rav now is going to prove methodically how everything that we did in the Mishkan was actually to rectify and to fix an Avera, a negative that we committed at the time of the Egel. Now, very simple. What was the first thing we did when the Egel was constructed? We turned to this golden ox, and we pointed to it, and we said, Ele Elohecha Yisrael. The first word that comes out of our mouth was, Ele, this is our God. And therefore, when it comes to building the Mishkan, we need to make a teshuvah, a rectification on the same word. And therefore, when the Mishkan is presented, we say, Ele Pikudei Mishkan. This is the calculations and the accounting of the Mishkan. This is the gold, as opposed to when we said, this is the gold of Elohecha Yisrael. The Ele comes to be Mechaper on the Ele. He then comes along and he says, not only that, but we gave the Avodah Zarah, Hem Hit Avu Ta'ava. We did it with great lust. Like we said, Elohim Asher Yilchu Lifnem. We're looking for a God. We're looking for a God to come and lead us. Midah keneged midah. How do you rectify it? We build the Mishkan. And what's the purpose of the Mishkan? In order that the Shekhinah, God himself, will rest amongst us. You try to replace God, and therefore Elohim yelech yilchu lefanenu, for a new God, a synthetic God that will walk in front of us. So now we make a tikkun. No, we're going to make a structure. It'll be out of gold as well. But it's not for a foreign god or synthetic god. It's for Borei Olam to come down. A rectification. They brought sacrifices in front of the Egel. And therefore we build the Mishkan with the Mizbeach in order to bring sacrifices. They brought their money. The men especially, exclusively, donated the money. And therefore the Torah comes along and says specifically that the men, when it came to donating for the Mishkan, the men came first and they did not spare any of their gold and silver. So therefore there's a midah keneged midah that's working over here, that whatever happened by the Egel needed to be rectified on the positive side by the Mishkan. And then he comes along and he says the following. So we have the El. We have two understandings. Either El is coming to exclude other calculations that are really not worthy of our time because of the temporary nature. Mamon, ma'atamone. We're also learning the El is coming to teach us to mitaken El Elohecha Yisrael. Now he comes along and he says that Moshe Rabbeinu has to give us an accounting. And he gives us a perfect, you know, list. He itemizes this much of this and this much of that. It's to the penny. Question is, well, he's the only one that knows what he collected. So therefore, how do we know that his accounting is correct? I mean, ultimately, there's really not a check and balance on Moshe. You're trusting him. Now, so if you trust him, so therefore, you don't have to give an accounting then. So Ella, he's giving the accounting. There must be some way that we're able to verify that what Moshe Rabbeinu was telling us is emet. So he says, and I quote, "Ele pekudei Mishkan, Mishkan Ha'edut." It's the Mishkan of testimony, testifying what? That God has forgiven us for chet ha'egel. Now, not only that, but Mishkan Ha'edut. Listen how beautiful. He says the Mishkan is a testimony that Moshe Rabbeinu is giving us the real numbers. And these are numbers that are not exaggerated or there was no money missing. If you want to know what's the verification that Moshe Rabbeinu is emet in the numbers, in the Pikud HaMishkan, this is the accounting. But who says? Mishkan Ha'edut. The Mishkan will be the testimony. How could the Mishkan be a testimony? It's not a human being. So later on in the Perashah, it's going to say that now came the day to construct the Mishkan. They got all the pieces. They got all these kedashim, these boards, a lot of gold, a lot of heavy equipment. And it says, B'nai Yisrael were unable to build it. For whatever reason, they couldn't erect the structure. Amazing thing. The hard part they were able to do, that's the building of it, the sensitive and the fragile detailed work. But when it came to the actual building of it, they couldn't do it. The Pasuk will say later on in the Perashah, Vayakim Moshe et HaMishkan. Moshe and only Moshe was able to erect it. And he quotes, Shelo haya echad mi Yisrael yachod lahamido. Nobody was able to do it. As the Midrash says, Kama hachamim hayu sham. There were a lot of smart guys there. Velo hayu yechodim lahakim et HaMishkan. But nobody was able to put it together. They couldn't put this structure in order. They all took their pieces and they gave it to Moshe. They said, Moshe, we were able to build it, but we can't construct it. Moshe got divine providence on him and he came to Mishkan. And he did something that nobody else was able to do. And that's the testimony. Why? If Moshe, God forbid, stole or skimmed off the top from the Mishkan, God's not making a miracle for him. God doesn't make a miracle for criminals. God doesn't make a miracle for thieves or ganavim. So therefore, the proof that Moshe Rabbeinu's accounting was 100% accurate, in the Pikudim Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu, here's the Pikudim, who says, Mishkan ha'edut. The Mishkan is the testimony. The fact that only Moshe was able to build it. And everybody saw that this must come from God's assistance to Moshe and God's divine providence, the Shekhinah that was on Moshe. And therefore, since Moshe Rabbeinu was able to build the Mishkan, that proved to everybody that his accounting is emet. Now, says Dorei Mekadosh, but wait, you might come along and say, no, that's not an indication that Moshe Rabbeinu is emet if he was able to build the Mishkan. It just shows us that he's stronger than everybody else. He was a gibor. Maybe the reason why nobody else was able to build this, they didn't have the strength of Moshe. But that does not necessarily mean that he's honest, says the Rav. Wait. Going forward, it was the job of the Leviim that were led by Itamar to take this structure down and put it back together again. The Leviim had the strength to do it over the next 40 years. So therefore, if you're telling me it was just about strength, even this time the Leviim were not able to do it. And we had strong people amongst us, strong people that are going to put the structure up many times going forward. Why couldn't they do it now? The explanation is, it wasn't because Moshe was the only strong one around. There was other strong ones that were there. And that's because God made a miracle for Moshe to show the veracity of his accounting. So that's why Leviim are mentioned here. This is the Mishkan that was built by Moshe, and the Mishkan is the testimony. The testimony is what? Avodat al-Leviim. Moshe Rabbeinu was doing something that normally the Leviim were able to do, but here they weren't able to do it. Why not? Where was their strength? This was not an inyan of strength anymore. This was something that only Moshe could do because God was trying to show everybody his veracity. He says, based on what I just said now, hirvachnu. We have a great benefit, a great profit. Kavanat omro, why does the Torah say, avodat al-Leviim biyad Itamar? She'en yodeya ma ba'alilamed. What is it coming to teach us? Umay shekhud ma'amazeh. What is it coming to teach us over there? Ve'lamo lomar ila Itamar, ve'lo ila asar ha'gadol. But the Dalkenu, we understand. He says, halot timsa she'avodat al-Leviim, she'biyad Itamar. What was the job? To lift the kirashim, the poles, and lift the mishkan, and all the beams. They were doing it. And therefore, they were strong, and they couldn't do it this time. So even though there was Leviim that had the ability to do it later on, this time they were incapable. Lesson being, the Mishkan is their edut. It wasn't Moshe's strength. Now you might come and say, wait, maybe it's not his strength. Maybe there's a certain know-how. You know, certain times, certain things, you don't have to be necessarily strong. You have to know the tricks of the trade. Maybe Moshe had this cleverness that he understood how to put it together. He knew all the secrets, how to get the structure built. It was coming from Chokhmah. He just had the know-how, you know, the inside information, how to get it to work. So he says, V'adayin yesh letlot, letzad ha-chokhmah, ki Moshe hakam v'harif hayam. He was just very sharp and clever. And therefore, he knew how to do it. But maybe this was not a miracle. It just was know-how. And that's why the pasuk comes along and says, "No, Ubsalel ben Uri ben Hur, Rabbi, know how we had Bitzalel here. Bitzalel was the one that masterminded it. Moshe Rabbeinu calls him Bitzalel. He has the wisdom of God, and even Bitzalel, with all his wisdom, to put this mishkan and build it, he couldn't erect it. And therefore, you see, it wasn't the chokhmah of Moshe. And therefore, he says, now we understand why the Torah has to mention Bitzalel." After all, we know Bitzel was involved. No, now we're not coming to tell you Bitzel's role in the architect of the Mishkan. We know that already. We're coming to say that what Moshe did by erecting the Mishkan was not an act of strength. The Leviim were there. They were just as strong, and they couldn't put it together. And it wasn't an act of being hacham, that he had a certain know-how, because there was nobody that had know-how like Bitzel. And he was there, and he couldn't put it together. So the fact that Moshe Rabbeinu put it together, and if it wasn't from his strength, and if it wasn't from his know-how, so what it must be? It must be that there's a miracle that Hashem specifically gave to Moshe. Why? So the people will know that his accounting is emet. In the Pikudei Mishkan, how do we know that this Pikudei is emet? Mishkan ha'edut. Leviim couldn't do it, and Bezalel couldn't do it. God does not make a miracle for criminals. Therefore, this whole pasuk now is good. We have two pishatim on the ele. Either the ele is coming to tell us this is worth counting, but mamon ma'atamoneh, don't spend so much time on your monetary assets. After all, today it's here, and there's uzim. They move from place to place. And the second thing we learn over here is ele. There's a tikkun over here. Like the midrash says, if you made an abiran, you ran to a bad place, go run to a brit milah. The running of Isur is rectified by a running of heter or mitzvah, you looked at something that you're not supposed to, go look at the Sidur, look at the Gemara, use your eyes for something good. Kambaruch used to call that teshuvat ha-mishkal. You're making a teshuvah of balance. And that's what the Rav says. They said, Ele Elohecha Yisrael, the Pasuk says, Ele Pekuda Mishkan. And they did it with their money, and therefore Bnei Yisrael has to give their money. They brought Korbanot, and then we have to bring Korbanot as well. They did it to rest a foreign god on the structure. We're doing it in order to bring the Shekhinah on our structure. And that's the connection to that. And finally, we know that it was a real, honest accounting. And if somebody wants to know, who's the witness? Mishkan ha'edut. The testimony comes from the Mishkan that only Moshe was able to erect. Hazak, hazak, v'nit hazek. We pray that just like we had the zechut to go through some of these beautiful pieces of the Or HaHaim HaKadosh to Sefer Shemot, from beginning to end, what Hashem should give us the strength of both the rabbi and, of course, the listeners, that we should be able to go through Vayikra as well, and the rest of the Sefarim, B'Bri'ut Etana, we say to our members, Hazak, Hazak, Benit Hazek, Shabbat Shalom.